I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Was Jesus a big bully? Yeah. Absolutely, yes. The biggest, the all-time biggest bully. My goodness, have you not read the stories? He's flipping tables and chasing hustlers and racketeers around the temple with a whip, which is nothing compared to the time he wades by himself into a graveyard at night to take on this infamous, local, terrifying, chain-busting maniac who was known to be tormented by a legion of demons. But Jesus hits the shore. That guy runs to him, and those demons shout, "Son of God, have you come here to torment us?" I thought they were the tormentors. So what do you call the tormentor of the tormentors? You call him the biggest bully in God's creation, is what you call him. Yes, is the answer. I have come here to torment you, because truth torments those who live in the dark. That's the way it is. Which is why the mere presence of the light tormented the prince of darkness. And he fell down saying, "I beg you, do not torment me." I don't think we see Jesus this way enough. Because the thing is, demonic torment, which is a very real thing, demonic torment can't hold a candle to divine counter torment. And you know what we call? You know what we call a virtuous bully? A hero. A hero. Or a savior. It is the setup for every single superhero movie ever made. Good bully destroys bad bullies. And everyone cheers, "Go get him!" Bully him. And those demons didn't just see Jesus as tormentor, but destroyer. Remember the guy who pitched a demonic fit in the synagogue? He cried out, "Jesus of Nazareth? Oh, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." It's like, these clowns don't get it, but I know. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us? Yes, indeed. The Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. Pow! There it is. So, a little slow on the uptake there. Here, go back. Let's try that again. We could edit the back. Okay, here we go. You bet he was. Pow! Nope. Still haven't got it. Okay. Good thing you're like one of my oldest friends. I mean longest. Not oldest. Happy Mother's Day. Okay. We're still building to it, by the way. That's we haven't got to the statement yet. But here we see that even the demons believe that and tremble. They don't just believe, they're shaken in their boots, or rather under his, as it were, because as foretold from the beginning, he will crush your head, God says to the serpent. He will crush your head. You're going to strike his heel. See, that's something, I guess. You know, but this took place almost literally on the cross on Golgotha, right? That's what one of the Gospels, on Golgotha, which literally means the place with the skull. That's where they stuck it in. Also known as Calvary, right? Very Eastern, Calvary, which simply means cranium. Stuck it in the cranium. So, crushed skull versus heel bite. Fatal dominance versus temporary injury. And I love that the cross is portrayed as a temporary injury, just a minor scratch. And Jesus didn't stop at disarming and defanging those bullies. The cross was a setup. It was a setup to display defeat. Having disarmed the powers and authorities is not enough. Having disarmed them, he made a public spectacle of them. How? by triumphing over them by the cross, by way of, that was the setup, but then he rose to life. They did it so publicly that when he rose to life, public humiliation. So that by his death, his very public death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free us. And free those held in slavery by their fear of death. Didn't come to negotiate. Nope, not to restrain, but to disarm and destroy. And then cast them out for perfect love, which is what he is. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear is what involves the torment. And now, Jesus said right before the cross, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. But in a surprising way, because he returns and says, because I have given you, all of us, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and to destroy all the enemy's power. He's like, don't worry, I weakened him, okay? But now it's on you. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear of death, not fear of the devil, but of power to conquer, and love to overpower, and self-control to resist his temptations. Therefore, submit to God. You all probably know this one. Submit to God. And say it with me. And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As long as you submit to God and flee the evil desires of youth. That means like the immature, impure, not grown up yet desires. And pursue, you know, growth and strength and maturity in righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And then just feel free, call on the Lord for help out of a pure heart, out of the good desires of a pure heart. So come on. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. It's your calling. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power by submitting to his resistance training. Put on the full spiritual armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then not just resist, but trample and destroy. For our struggle, as you know, is against the powers of this dark world. And against the spiritual forces of evil. I mean, it sounds like we're all superheroes in his book. There's your mission. For we, as believers, we're unique. We are not unaware of Satan's schemes. Okay, good example. There was a kid in my class my freshman year. I got a couple schoolmates here. Come up afterwards and tell me if you know who this is. My freshman year, who was routinely tormented in the locker room by a pack of older boys. Over the summer, he worked out like crazy. He showed up 3 months later. We didn't recognize him. He had put on about 30 pounds of muscle. And when school began, he stalked every one of them and gave each one a very public, humiliating trampling, we'll call it, a severe beating. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. No, I'm not in any way condoning violence. Not advocating violence. I'm just really enjoying bullies receiving their comeuppance. We so enjoy that. Right? And I'm comparing it to spiritual growth and strength that likewise only comes by resistance training and self-discipline, so that we can get fit to fight back against Satan's schemes. Therefore, be self-controlled and alert. Be alert. We need a new chair. Be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring, albeit beaten, lion, looking for someone weak to devour. Why does God allow that? Do you know why our Father allows this predator to stalk his children? Because temptation provides resistance training. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that allows us to actually exercise endurance and self-discipline and build up reliance and trust and to strengthen our love for Him above all else and our love for others as ourselves. So He's a useful idiot. He's a useful cowardly roarer. So be wise. Know this. Be wise in what is good. Bulk up in what is good. But simple concerning evil. Get cut. Get cut. Show those muscles. And one of my favorites. Ready? And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Hey, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Do you see how funny this is? This scripture, I've never seen it this way before. So let's just read the whole thing again. So be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Because that's part of His grace. That's part of His grace. We've got to stop thinking of Jesus. He's a bully, man. And He's on our side. Because the peace that passes understanding belongs to the one who crushed Satan's skull. And in every superhero movie, at some point, the victims rejoice when the holy bully bullies the unholy bullies. Right? Usually they're taking it from the unholy bullies, and all of a sudden he's like, ha, 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 look, well, there's the holy bully going to bully the bull out of you. Well, the lions may roar, they may growl. I tell you this, the teeth of the great lions are broken for you. You, oh Lord, my God, have struck all my enemies, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly, because salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. So it's like we're on the playground. Break their teeth in their mouth, oh God. Pow! Break out the fangs of the young lions, oh Lord. Bam! Okay, I think we've built to it enough now. I'm just going to say it. Just going to say it. Mothers are the biggest bullies in God's creation. You see why we had to build to it, right? That's a good thing, in the good way. So now the sermon takes a turn, because in second grade, my son Keaton had a bully named Billy. If you recognize him, that's hilarious. Billy the Bully. And Keaton told his mom about it, his own mom. Okay, see, here's the thing. Tell your dad about it, and he teaches you how to stand up to him. True story. Tell your mom about it, and she goes to Lucille Umbarger, hunts him down like a lioness, finds him, puts a firm paw on his shoulder, and says in a smiling, menacing way, "I hear you and my son Keaton are friends. I sure hope you stay friends." Billy just nodded and never bullied Keaton again. And in fact, they became friends. All because mom bullied the bully on her child's behalf. Okay. Good job, mom. Good job. She kind of bullies me sometimes. Yes. Oh, but only when I deserve it, honey. Okay, so this is something we all should know. The best attributes of both fathers and mothers embody something of God. Who said, right at the start, that he created us male and female in his own image. And I don't know if you know how much he uses, because he uses a lot of maternal images to depict his nature as our comforter and protector. I was asking Chad, are there any male animals that God uses to show like his protection and comfort? Nope. No, oddly enough, it says he's always female. Huh. Weird. Jesus famously compares himself to a hen with her chicks. At a time when men did not compare themselves to a hen with chicks. And it doesn't stop there, but let's start there. It's where Jesus said, publicly, "Oh, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." And you might know this. In Jesus' day, the fringed corners of a Jewish cloak carried this rich wing imagery in Scripture. We can't go there, but just know that. But I'll tell you where we are going. To just a handful of the quotes that God says, like in Isaiah, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Is that possible? Can she have no compassion on the child she born? Well, yeah, you know, he knows us. So to be honest, she may forget. Okay. But he says, I will not forget you. Even though you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. In other words, you forgot your father, who is your mother. Which is why we need to be reborn. For I will comfort you, the Lord says, as a mother. As a mother comforts her child. So then, here's how that plays out. I will be like a lion to them who seek to devour my cubs. And like a bear robbed of her cubs. And I will also devour them like a lioness. Because any lion that ever got between the lioness and the cubs learned a valuable lesson. They're not the strongest in the kingdom. Because when it comes to her cubs, it's the lioness who provides and comforts and protects. It's a picture of a mother's warm, comforting arms and claws. And now add to that the terrifying drive of a Syrian brown bear going after her cubs. Because the Lord uses this weird blend, right? He says, there's what I'm like. You got to put the two pictures together. He's this blend of these two maternal images to describe his own protective fury. And I'll tell you, a lioness is not raising pets. She's raising hunters. And so they watch her. And then they imitate her, the little cubs that pounce and wrestle. But then when they're a little older, well, then she'll even bring them weakened prey, take the fight out of them so that they can practice and grow and develop. Because like the Lord, she's not just feeding, she's forming. But I've made two seemingly contradictory points. Which is it? Does Jesus crush and devour and destroy the power of the enemy? Or is it left up to us to resist and fight and flee? No, it's both, you see, because just like the lioness to which he compares himself, he will not let you be tempted. Some translations say tested beyond your ability. He takes most of the fight out of them, that you may be able to endure it, because that's what he's looking for. Endure it. Learn from it. Grow. Therefore, my beloved, flee. Flee. Not in fear. In training. Flee those worldly lusts. Flee the stuff you know doesn't belong. Flee the dark side. The devil's been beaten. Get this image in your head. Devil's been beaten. He's beaten. Jesus crushed him. Get a good look, because that's who's harassing you. That's what's coming to your door. Don't you be picturing some big thing. There's the guy, and he's just hoping you don't fight back, because he's been crushed. And we are given the duty and honor and glory and power to finish him off. Because God's disciplining us, training us, discipling us. We're children. So the Lion of Judah leaves just enough fight to teach and train and discipline and develop us cubs. Because every temptation is pre-approved for resistance training by our teacher slash trainer slash father hen, who said, everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. So do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart, for heaven's sakes. For the Lord disciplines those he loves as his children, growing in every way more and more like Christ. And those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the flesh. I nailed it to the cross. Crucified. Pick up your cross and follow me. Which doesn't mean it's dead. It takes a long time to die on a cross. Doesn't mean it's dead yet. Hopefully it's dying. Maybe even mostly dead. Because the greatest act of evil in all of human history was the cross. He came to save his chicks and cubs from death and darkness, and to deliver us from fear and sin and shame, and to destroy the bully from hell. Literally, the bully from hell. But we, humanity, beat him, mocked him, and crucified him. And yet, by his ingenious design, the very act, that very act, became the very thing that became the means by his cleansing and conquering and crushing. For the weapons of our warfare, remember, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So we take every thought captive to obey Christ, the mighty Son of Man, our hero, who only echoes what he had foretold when comparing his suffering before his resurrection and our rebirth to the joyful anguish of a mother giving birth. For the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man, and he shall prevail against his enemies. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once, so that you can be reborn. Just the night before, he says, when a woman is giving birth, her hour has come. So when he says, my hour has come to give birth. But, and also I just want to say, it's not gentle. If you've ever been there, I've been there for two. It's not gentle or passive. It's ferocious and really gross. And you all know this to be true. If men had to give birth, we're gone. It's done. Planet ends. But Jesus says, when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy. For joy that a human being has been born into the world, and no one will take your joy from you. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? These are just a few. It's everywhere when you start looking for it. Because he puts a spirit in godly mothers that just won't die. You moms, I feel for you, because you moms may not see it, but the enemy sure feels it. Because he counts on fatigue But I'll just tell you, when that cowardly lion tries to crush you, and it only serves to weaponize the lioness in you who goes into prayer, doesn't stand down, pushes back, something evil and unseen says, uh-oh, because pow. Because what do we call a holy bully who pushes back on darkness, won't let evil win? Well, in a movie, it's a hero. In Scripture, he's our Savior. And in the home, her kids call her Mom. And to every anguished wonder woman, the Lord would likely say, keep standing. You're crushing it. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and run for refuge under you. Holy Spirit, train us and strengthen us to resist and trample and even bully evil with good. Lord Jesus, we praise you for crushing the skull, breaking the fangs, and saving us, and for giving us godly mothers with claws to comfort us. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.